What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And on today's show, one of the original founding members of this group, John Kegley, is on the show with us today to get into a bunch of stuff. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You guys can save $10 off your Built Bar order at BuiltBar.com with the promo code Locked On. We are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, we have a very full show for you guys today, but of course, we have to start with the news. And today, it's more somber news as a former Charger was killed over the weekend and a worker at SoFi Stadium was killed in a tragic accident as well. So unfortunately today we have to start the show there and talk about some bad news, but we do have fun for the rest of the show. In the second segment, we're going to be getting into some fan voicemails about the best, strongest part of the Chargers defense. That part is going to be tough, as well as what a successful season looks like for the Chargers in 2020 and the Damian Square signing. And then to wrap up the show, we have an article from BoltBeat.com talking about three Chargers players who could get cut before ever actually playing a snap for the team. So we'll talk about that and maybe give a couple of suggestions of other guys that could happen to as well at the end of the show. But let's go ahead and get into it. The Los Angeles Chargers got some grave news over the weekend when a former Charger was killed and a worker at the SoFi Stadium construction site died in a tragic accident. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Some really sad news came out over the weekend when it was announced that former Chargers receiver Rashay Caldwell was killed in Florida. Caldwell was drafted by the Chargers in the second round of the 2002 draft and ended up playing four seasons with the Chargers. He caught only 76 passes and scored just 7 touchdowns, but obviously when any news comes out like this, especially when it is someone who is a former Charger, you definitely just want to pay your respects to the family. The Chargers came out with a statement that said, "We are deeply saddened by the tragic loss of former Charger Rashay Caldwell. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Rashay's family, friends, and teammates during this difficult time." I obviously want to echo that sentiment, and although he did not have an illustrious career with the Chargers, he will actually probably being best known for what he did against the Chargers, David, in a famous playoff game against the Patriots.
Talk about a player getting his all-time kind of revenge here with Rashay Caldwell against the Chargers. He got drafted, as Daniel mentioned, to the Chargers and then went to the Patriots the year after. And in a January 2007 playoff game against New England, Caldwell recovered a fumble by Marlon McCree after an interception with 6:16 left and the Chargers leading 21-13. Less than 2 minutes later, Caldwell caught a 4-yard touchdown pass from Tom Brady in a subsequent 2-point conversion run by Kevin Fulk to tie the game at 21. After that, on a 3rd and 10, he caught a 49-yard pass to put the Patriots in position for the eventual game-winning field goal. He had a great year with New England. That was his best year in the NFL. He had 61 receptions, 760 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So Rashay Caldwell did not have a phenomenal NFL career, but he definitely did have one great year with some incredibly memorable plays in the playoffs. So all of our thoughts and prayers are with the Caldwell family, and we are very sorry to hear about this tragedy, but unfortunately, Daniel, the tragedy did not stop there.
Yeah, it was, like I said, a very tough weekend for the Chargers and for two men's family because a worker at SoFi Stadium construction site in Inglewood, California, died at the scene after falling from a roof on Friday, a spokesperson for the contractor confirmed. Turner/Acom, the joint venture that is the site's general contractor, said that an iron worker fell from the roof structure and that emergency responders were called immediately. And this has been a tenuous process for the Chargers and the Rams trying to get this new stadium built. The stadium was supposed to cost $2.6 billion. Now it is said to cost over $5 billion. And then now you have a tragedy on site, and it's something that is obviously the worst case scenario, especially when you're working on something as massive as SoFi Stadium. I mean, there's so many construction workers that are out there putting themselves in harm's way to get that job done, especially with how quickly the job needs to get done. If they are to play in it on August 14 when the Rams and New Orleans Saints play. Most Charger fans and Rams fans are wondering when this stadium is going to get done. But David, right now, really all we can think about is just how this family feels and how sorry we feel for this family to have, you know, somebody go to work and then never be able to come home to their family.
Yeah, it's the absolute worst case scenario, and it's just absolutely horrible that something like this happened. And the teams put out a joint statement when they said, "We are tremendously saddened by the loss of a construction worker at the stadium site today. Our sincerest thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends of the individual who passed away. The safety of our construction team and all of our employees is the foremost priority of our organizations, and we will continue to work with our partners and local authorities to deliver on that commitment." It's not something any team wants to see happen when they're having a new stadium constructed like this. Stadium construction has stopped on the site because of this incident, and again, our thoughts and prayers are with the family of this worker. It's an absolutely horrible thing that happened.
Yeah, and I think you just want to make sure if you are the Chargers or the Rams that you're making sure that that situation is as safe as it possibly can be before people start to work on it again, because timelines be damned, the safety of those workers is obviously what should come first. And I'm not saying that the Chargers and Rams didn't do that, but these kinds of mistakes where someone is taken away from their families is just unacceptable. And we don't know the exact specifics of what happened, but this is something that you have to make sure if you're these two teams can never happen again. And when this new stadium opens up, I don't know if it'll bring any solace to the family, but you would think that there would have to be some sort of tribute to this man who was lost, some sort of announcement or something to just acknowledge the fact that this happened and to give thanks to someone who tragically lost his life building you your new stadium. But we do have two more segments to get into. Coming up next, we are going to be getting into some voicemails about what a successful season will look like for the Chargers, the signing of Damian Square, and the strongest part of the Chargers defense. But the strongest part of your everyday diet should be a Built Bars, because we all get hungry during the day, and I love to snack. And the best snack that I've found is a Built Bar, because it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And one of my favorite parts about Built Bars is the fact that they have so many flavors to choose from. You can get 20 different flavors at BuiltBar.com, a ton of variety, and they're all 100% covered in chocolate and soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are for health-conscious people. If you're trying to lose weight or gain weight or just add a bunch of protein to your snacking during the day, Built Bar is the best way to go. And we can actually save you some money on your Built Bar order right now, because if you use the promo code LOCKEDON on BuiltBar.com on your first order, you can save $10 off. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, at BuiltBar.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, and you can save $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com. All right, guys, well, it's time to lighten things up around here a little bit, and I want to thank everyone who called in to get in on today's voicemail segment. We have a bunch of good voicemails today, and we finally got enough to do a voicemail show. Three voicemails from three different fans, one first-time caller on today's show. And if you guys want to be the next voices on the Locked On Chargers podcast, the number is 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show, so we'd always love to hear what you guys are thinking about everything and any questions that you guys might have. So first we have Josh from Wisconsin, who has a really good question about the Chargers defense.
Hey guys, this is Josh from Wisconsin. I was just curious, I don't know if talk about this or not, I was just curious what you guys think the strongest part of our defense will be this year. Obviously we got Joey, Linval Joseph and Melvin Ingram on the front lines. And maybe Jerry Tillery will have a breakout year, hopefully. Then we got Drew Tranquil. And I know everyone's pretty excited about Kenneth Murray. And that secondary is looking pretty crazy. So, yeah, give me your thoughts. Belt up.
All right, so I think this is a very good question, because the Chargers are obviously super loaded on the defensive side of the ball. They have a lot of playmakers on offense as well, but I think every position group has its own defect. It has one weak spot that makes it kind of hard to be like, yes, this is the best position group. But John, if you're tasked with making the decision of what the strongest position group on the Chargers is, where would you go with?
I'd probably have to go with the D-line, just specifically because Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa are the best duo out of all those positions. If you look on linebackers, cornerbacks. Like, even Derwin James with Casey Hayward is not anything compared to Melvin Ingram with Joey Bosa.
Well, no, it'd still be a safety. I mean, that would be a good one. That's still, like, if you're going two safeties, it's Derwin James and Rayshon Jenkins. I mean, if it's corners, you would go Chris Harris Jr. and Casey Hayward Jr., which is a good start. I mean, that's pretty close, but I don't blame you for going there.
Well, I think he's asking parts of the defense, right, as in D-line, secondary, or linebackers.
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to tell.
That's either way, though. That's where I went with it, which is why I could have said, like, he was explaining the whole entire defensive line in the question. He mentioned Linval Joseph, Joey. Yeah, and so, that, I mean, linebackers are one, secondary are one, compared to D-tackles versus D-ends, which is why I'm thinking this one. I believe Jerry Tillery and Linval Joseph being the weaker part of the D-line, if you will, is better than the weaker part of our secondary players or the weaker part of the linebackers. I think there's more strength and depth in the D-line than there is everywhere else.
I mean, I would say that I think probably if you're talking about that way, the secondary, I would say, probably has the most talent overall, just because you're talking about Desmond King, Chris Harris Jr., Casey Hayward Jr., Derwin James. I mean, even Nazir Adderley. I mean, we know how talented the guy is. He hasn't been on the field. But if you're talking talent, I think it'd be hard to go that way. Even just corners, if you're talking about overall talent, I mean, Michael Davis is a super talented player. Obviously, we haven't seen that necessarily turn into the results on the field that you would want, but it is pretty crazy to think that the defensive line could be the strongest part of this team. You do have to see a result, so I think that is a very important part of it. And, I mean, at least three out of the four guys you're going to have the, you know, on the defensive line at any given time have produced at this level, you know, at a very high level. So I think, I mean, the linebackers is probably the dark horse candidate on this, right? Because you have Kenneth Murray, who you're not really sure how it's going to happen yet, but you're hugely optimistic. You have Drew Tranquil, who's coming off a pretty good season, probably about to take on a bigger workload. And then if you have Kazir White as your strong side linebacker, I mean, I'm still pretty bullish on Kazir White as well. So I think that would be the dark horse, but it's hard to argue with the defensive line there. So let's go and get into the next voicemail. This is Zach from Florida. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey guys, Zach from Florida. First, wanted to say I enjoy interacting with you guys on Twitter. But to my question, now, barring major injuries or health, what would you say would be a successful season for the team in 2020? For me, if you take away those other factors, I have to say a double-digit season, double-digit win season. I feel like we have too much talent on both sides of the ball to not be competitive next season. I feel like if we go underneath double-digit wins, I could see that being a consideration for Lynn being on the hot seat or even replaced, as well as Telesco. So just want to get your thoughts on that question and bolt up.
All right, Zach. Well, just know I still have the rest of your voicemail calls, and I promise we will try to get into all of the ones that aren't super time specific. But I appreciate you bringing this question to us. I'm glad that you put the caveat of barring major injury, because David, obviously, that's the one thing that can nuke the Chargers season before it starts. So what do you think a positive season for the Chargers looks like if there are no major injuries?
Well, man, what a beautiful environment to even envision, huh, Daniel? I mean,
Yeah. Wow.
The Chargers have had so many incredibly ridiculous injuries that have just destroyed seasons. And so to think about what this team, with the amount of talent that you mentioned, Zach, that they have on both sides of the ball, if they don't have to worry about their players getting hurt, I think a successful season is no less than 11 wins. I really, truly believe that, because the Chargers, like I mentioned, have been so just snake bitten by the injuries that, and like I said before, they're not small injuries. These are massive injuries, really important key players that you can't replace. So if they don't have to worry about that and they just go out there and play 16 games, imagine stat lines for Hunter Henry, for Derwin James, for Joey Bosa, for Melvin Ingram. Imagine the stat lines for those type of guys if they're just on the field all the time and producing up to their capability. I think no less than 11 wins. If they are healthy, that is definitely a benchmark for me.
See, I think 11 wins definitely is an impressive season with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, but I don't think a successful season can just be based on the regular season either. I think there has to be some postseason success. I think even, I mean, I obviously we know it's Tyrod Taylor, and I know that many are, you know, tempering their expectations onto what Tyrod Taylor can do in the playoffs. I mean, the one playoff game he has was a disastrous game for both teams. So, I mean, there's not a lot to go off there, but I think, I mean, it didn't feel good when the Chargers in 2018 with Phillip Rivers as their quarterback lost in the second round. So, I mean, I think two playoff wins, I mean, that's a successful season. Getting farther than you have gotten, at least in recent years. I think making the playoffs is obviously a success, but to think of this season and not just look at it as a year where the Chargers used some prime years from Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry and all of these guys that they still have under contract, just for that team to never fully accomplish a Super Bowl or even a deep playoff run, for that matter, I think is, you know, a huge loss for the team, because it's just such a talented roster with, you know, a couple of really big question marks. So that's a very hard question to fully answer, but I think, you know, if you win 10 or 11 games, if you make the playoffs, if you win a couple of playoff games with this roster, with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, it's hard to say that's not a success. But we do have one more voicemail caller that we have to get into. This one got cut off a little bit, but I think the point still remains the same, and I think it's a very valid question. Let's hear what Ryan from Huntington Beach has to say.
Hello, my name is Ryan, first-time caller from Huntington Beach, California. I want to talk Damian Square. He signs a one-year deal. Again, why can't we sign this guy for many, many years? Hear multiple times that he's great, but he only gets the one-year deal.
So, Ryan, I'm sorry if, you know, if your voicemail got cut off a little bit there, but I think your question is very fair, and it's why doesn't a guy like Damian Square end up getting signed to multiple years? And I think this is a question we had before with, you know, guys like Adrian Phillips last year in the offseason, where you're waiting for him to get signed, John, and when they end up signing him, it's a one-year deal, barely over $1 million, and you're just like, if that was the asking price, why are you not locking him up for like 4 years, $8 million or something like that? So obviously Damian Square is not a starter necessarily. He's not a huge impact player, but he's a very solid depth piece. He's a guy that I was pretty impressed with last year, even though the stats didn't necessarily say he had a good year. I mean, zero sacks. He only gets one QB hit, two hurries, and three pressures. But I did think he was a disruptor at times on that defensive line and had no problem with bringing him back. But John, why is it that we don't see guys like Damian Square get multiple-year contracts?
I believe it's because his talent is easily replaceable, and they want to look in free agency every year for someone to be a bigger depth piece. And plus, he doesn't ask for a lot of money. And if the longer the contracts go, I believe the more money you have to offer. So compared to having a 1 year, $1.2 million deal, if you do 2 years, it has to go up a little bit. And then guaranteed money becomes an issue. And then if this guy has injury issues, you have to pay them that next year or cut them and lose money. I think it's more of just, he's not great, but he's not bad. He's someone you want to bring back every year, but he has not shown someone that deserves multiple years. Whereas Adrian Phillips actually made a significant difference in this defense and deserved multiple years. Damian Square is just a depth piece who plays his role, can sometimes, as you say, make that disruptive play, but not the big play, not a bunch of sacks, a bunch of tackles for a loss. So he's not that guy that you look on your defense and go, that's our guy, we need to get him here for longer. When you have depth pieces like this, usually you sign them year to year, if not 2 years at the most. So to say, why hasn't he gotten 2 years is maybe the question, but to say multiple years, like 3 or 4, I don't think he's...
Yeah, I mean, obviously 2 years could technically be considered multiple years, but, you know, it sounds like he's looking for a longer contract from there, from his voicemail. So I would say that obviously Adrian Phillips was the bigger loss, and you saw that, you know, a team finally kind of valued him in the Patriots, and he actually made a little bit of money. And Damian Square, I mean, he's just a guy that he's always going to be doing the dirty work. He's never going to pop up with huge stats, and he's a guy that's convenient for the Chargers because they can go about the rest of their free agency knowing that they kind of have him in their back pocket when they go into the draft, knowing they probably can sign him if they need to. I think that means a lot to the Chargers. And you're right, the bonuses, guarantees, all that stuff could go up if it's a multi-year contract. But at the same time, that money doesn't always have to be totally guaranteed, especially if you're talking about like a three-year deal or something like that. So obviously, if he ends up having a pretty good year, it's going to come back to bite the Chargers, but this isn't one I have as much of an issue with as opposed to someone like Adrian Phillips. But we do have one more segment to get into because we're going to be getting into an article talking about the three Chargers who could get released before even playing a snap for the team, coming up right after this. All right, so we saw an article that we thought that would be fun to talk about regarding the Chargers, and this time it was talking about three Chargers that could get released before ever seeing a snap with the team. This is from Jason Reed from BoltBeat.com. And I think what makes this article different is because it's not just guys who are likely to get released. It's not just undrafted free agents either. He doesn't use any rookies on this list. And he just sticks to guys that the Chargers brought in or have that actually have never seen the field with the Chargers but still could get released before they ever do. So the first one they talk about who is at risk of being cut is Andrew Vollert. Vollert is a very interesting case because he got hurt last season in the preseason after, you know, making actually a pretty big play for the Chargers. He ends up going down and being lost for the year, and we really only had that one nice play, a nice reception in the preseason to kind of get excited for about half a second before we realized that he was never going to be on the Chargers in 2019. And I think this is a choice that makes a lot of sense here, David, just because Andrew Vollert is a guy that doesn't have a lot of guaranteed money, and the Chargers were proactive at the tight end position when they brought in Donald Parham. So that would mean they have Virgil Green and Hunter Henry and Donald Parham, which, depending on how the Donald Parham thing goes, could leave Andrew Vollert as the odd man out, having never actually gotten into a regular season game with the Chargers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Andrew Vollert, I think, showed some flashes in the preseason and made that one play that you talked about, but then he tore his ACL and was done for the year. The Chargers are very thin at the tight end position, but they were not sold on the depth that they had. Obviously, that's why they brought in Donald Parham. That's why they signed him to a two-year deal, because they need more competition at that position. So Andrew Vollert has had a couple of opportunities with the Chargers. If he doesn't make good on this one, he very well may see himself on another team.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, you just never know if guys like this are released. You don't know if they'll ever get that next shot at it. But I would also say that just because they signed Donald Parham doesn't mean that Donald Parham is necessarily going to have the leg up. I could see them wanting him for his athleticism, but wherever Donald Parham has been, at least as far as him playing in the XFL and him trying to make it in the NFL, it's not like he's just lit the league on fire. So I think that both of them probably have a similar chance to make the team. And the next guy that pops up on the list is linebacker Malik Jefferson, who was originally a third round draft pick by the Bengals in 2018 and was already released so that the Chargers could end up snagging him. And this is a guy that's a little bit different because he's a guy that the Chargers have talked about. They were very high on him coming out of the draft, coming out of Texas. And John, this is a guy that you know well, and he's a guy that had some pretty exciting tools. Obviously, if a team is spending a draft pick that's that high on him, it means they really value him. But obviously, that comes with some huge red flags, because how does a guy who has that much invested in him get cut so early on into his career? But the Chargers obviously showed a lot of interest in him, and there's other guys that I think are probably just as likely to get cut. I mean, you have a guy like Emeka Egbule, who was a sixth-round pick from last year. I don't know if he's a positive lock for this team. Nick Vigil's a guy they brought in this offseason. I mean, there's a lot of guys that could be potentially on the bubble, including linebacker Malik Jefferson.
I can understand this pick, because if you look at the linebackers, let's just list the names, regardless of where they play at linebacker. These are just the linebackers on the roster that you could say probably will make the roster. One of them would be Nick Vigil, that you just mentioned, that you think could get cut, but he's also really likely to make the team.
There's also, I don't think Kaiser, he'll get cut.
There's also Kaiser White, Drew Tranquil, Denzel Perryman, Uchenna Nwosu, Kenneth Murray. So just those guys alone, you have six linebackers. Do you want to keep a seventh one in Malik Jefferson or Emeka Egbule, who you spent a draft pick on? If you had to pick between those two, who would you pick? The one you put a draft pick on, or some guy you signed off the streets? It makes sense to make this your pick, but this is a guy who knows how to really hit in the hole and make a tackle. the reason the Bengals cut him be because they're a crappy team with a crappy coach, and that's why they finished last season? I mean, could that be a reason? I mean, just because he gets cut doesn't always mean it's the story. It could also mean bad coaching. There's plenty of players that get cut. They go to another team, and all of a sudden it's like, why was this guy cut again? With Malik Jefferson, you have a guy that can hit and wants to tackle. He's not so much great in pass coverage, but he wants to hit, and you need linebackers that need to hit. So he would also be someone that could possibly make this team as one of your last, like, last five in, if you will, on the bubble, the last five in on the roster, maybe. But I think he probably is going to be one that gets cut.
I think there's a strong likelihood. I mean, it's just one of those things that NFL front offices always value where guys were picked in the draft. So even though they drafted Emeka Egbuole and hit the argument for him, he's playing strong side outside linebacker, which Malik Jefferson is probably more likely to play, you know, Mike or Will. But still, at the same time, I think we've seen that slot for linebackers go to Nick DeZubner over the last few years, and that was specifically for special teams reasons. I mean, last year you had Jatavis Brown and Nick DeZubner both on the roster who weren't really playing on the defense. So there could still be a spot on the Chargers roster where they're looking for a guy who can impact special teams greatly. So I think that's obviously for any linebacker who is on the fringe of making the roster, that's your best bet because this team has some major openings on special teams right now. And if you can make some plays there, we've seen guys like Jeremy Davis and Nick DeZubner, Daryl Stuckey. This team will keep you around if you can excel at special teams. So I think that's his best bet to do it because it's hard to see him with all of those names you just mentioned finding time on the field unless, you know, somebody like Denzel Perryman gets hurt or something like that and he gets in on a rotational basis. But the last guy they brought up on here that could get cut before ever playing a snap is Darius Jennings, who is the kick return specialist who was last with the Tennessee Titans. The Chargers brought him in free agency, David, and I think the obvious reason that this guy is a prime candidate to be cut before he ever sees a snap with the team is just because the Chargers drafted a kickoff return specialist in the draft. I mean, Darius Jennings is not a punt return specialist. But Joe Reed, their fifth round draft pick, is a kickoff return specialist. And you just have to think that you're probably not going to keep a guy around if he can't complement the team as a receiver. And now even that becomes more difficult for Jennings because he's fighting with two other guys, with KJ Hill and Joe Reed, for, you know, besides even Andre Patton, to find snaps at receiver. So he's a specialist, David, and the Chargers just brought in another specialist. So unless, I mean, they don't believe in Joe Reed's kickoff return ability, I think not only is he a candidate to get cut, but at this point it almost seems like he's likely to get cut just because they drafted a guy who's going to do what he does, and there's only so much room for specialists on an NFL roster.
Yeah, I'm sure Darius Jennings, when he got signed by the Chargers, was like, man, nice. I finally got an opportunity where I'm going to be able to show my exclusive skill set and be able to have an opportunity to make a team. And then the draft happens. And then the Chargers draft a Jet Award winner, kickoff return specialist, and a receiver who's a much better receiver than you are that is going to be able to get in on the offense with gadget plays for sure. And there goes your opportunity up in smoke. Unless Joe Reed gets hurt or if he doesn't display that incredible open field ability that we saw in the draft prep in the NFL, then it, unfortunately for Mr. Jennings, it seems like he's going to be able to wear those nice uniforms for a few months and then he's going to have to put them on the wall because he's more than likely going to get cut.
When I think probably the Chargers offensively were thinking about trying to get Darius Jennings involved in the offense. And, you know, maybe if Joe Reed takes a little bit longer to come along, maybe that's still an option for the team. But it just doesn't seem likely now. And, of course, you have Darius Jennings reaching out to Joe Reed after he gets drafted because both of them went to Virginia. So class act by him, basically, you know, congratulating the guy who might take his job. You know, so I thought that was pretty cool. But at this point, John, it's kind of hard to see a path where Darius Jennings gets on the rosters without, you know, an injury happening or something of that nature. Oh, and the Chargers signed Griff Whalen to play wide receiver for them. That's neither here nor there. But I think with Darius Jennings, what you, I think, see from the Chargers with, you know, bringing in Darius Jennings and bringing in Joe Reed is they want that kind of player on the offense. Unfortunately for Jennings, I mean, they got that player in the draft. And, I mean, kickoffs are such a smaller part of the game than they used to be. I mean, you get the ball at the 25-yard line now that a lot of times it's not even worth returning them. We've seen return numbers drop drastically since they moved the mark where other teams kick it off from. So you're talking about a diminishing position and having two guys going out for the same job. One of them you spent a draft pick on. I think that's, you know, where it really runs into issues. But, David, there are a couple of other guys that, you know, we could see get cut before they ever end up playing a snap for the Chargers.
Yeah, like one of them is Storm Norton, the offensive lineman that they signed from the XFL. We don't know after, you know, what we've heard from, you know, the Chargers organization talking about how highly they are on Trey Pipkins and how they think that Sam Tevy has left tackle feet and that they want to move Trent Scott to guard. So that might eliminate Storm Norton's opportunity. Now, obviously, we don't know what we have in Trey Pipkins. The Chargers don't know what they have in Trey Pipkins right now, although it seems like James Campen, the new offensive line coach, is very sure that he sees things that he's going to be able to mold and be able to turn him into a good left tackle in this league. I mean, you can't doubt his pedigree. He's already shown many times that he has a unique ability to do that with players, so we will have to see. But unfortunately, all of that spells bad news for Storm Norton, and unfortunately, the guy who has probably the best name in the NFL going on the team that is called the Chargers, unfortunately, doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
I'll just say right now, if Sam Tevy gets cut and Storm Norton makes the team, I'm cool with it. No experience needed, no. But,
100%.
I mean, I think another guy you'd throw on that list who's kind of a rookie, not really a rookie, Donald Parham, who obviously graduated a few years ago, played in the XFL, never played a regular season snap in the NFL. And also, if this article doesn't talk about rookies, but we've seen many sixth-round draft picks get cut by the Chargers in years past or just not end up making the team. You look back at Dylan Cantrell. You look back before at Tevin Reese, who was taken, I believe, in the sixth round. It's either him or Marion Grice. Neither one of them actually ended up making the team anyways that year. But I think even you're talking about a guy like Alohi Gilman, who is going into a pretty crowded safety room and is a guy that, from his film, I mean, definitely has a lot of work to be able to play on the defense at the NFL level. I think he will be a big special teams player. And I think special teams is really the name of the game at this point, which is what makes it tougher for a guy like Storm Norton, who probably isn't going to be on the punt coverage team, probably isn't going to be on the kickoff coverage team and things like that, where he can make a substantial difference and make himself more valuable to the team. But there's always going to be some surprise cuts. There's always going to be some surprise guys that make the roster. That's one of the fun things about following the Chargers, is they don't always go with who you think they're going to go with, which can be fun and can also be incredibly frustrating. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. But until then, make sure to go like our Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On LIC, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. Thank you to everyone who called in to the voicemail line today. We really appreciate it. We love using your guys' voicemail, so call in anytime. The number is 323-524-7924. Obviously, we got off to a dark start on today's show. Let's hope for a lighter, happier week of talking about this Chargers football team, but we'll be back with you guys on Wednesday. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.